hole. I'm too young or I'm too old, and I can't sing or teach, and no title do I hold. Well, what can I do? For I want to do my part, and I want to help the hurting with all of my heart. I can pray until the walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can pray. Child has gone so far, though I try my best to reach them. Their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to you? For my family's lost and dying, and my words just don't get through.
Young ladies, what a blessing. I'm glad that God hears and answers the prayers of all of His people, and I believe in particularly the children. And I'm thankful for the prayers of the children. Sometimes we overlook the little children, but I'm going to tell you, I've met some children that can get some prayers through. And don't ever underestimate the prayer life of a child. Their faith is far beyond what you and I may realize. Their faith sometimes goes beyond their intellect and their reason. And I'm thankful for the little children. It's been a great morning. And we certainly do appreciate all the children of Fellowship Baptist Church. And we're grateful that we have an opportunity to invest in their lives. It's good to see Brother Chester here out of the hospital, able to be back with us today. Good to have you, Brother Chester. Where's Brother John Shiflett at? Brother John, you come. Brother John, before I get started, he's going to make a presentation, and then I'll bring you a message on the young king. And I want you young people in particular to listen very carefully to the message this morning. Brother John, appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you. Amen. Very much. Well, good morning. I'd just like to say in the scripture, it says where, in Proverbs 29, it says where there's no vision, the people perish. We have a vision here. You can see it. Just look around this morning. You want to see the vision? Here it is. It's here this morning. And it's from leadership. And we have excellent leadership here at our church. And I'm thrilled to say that this is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we have four outstanding pastors at our church. It's four outstanding families that deal with our families and our work here. And they work tirelessly. And, you know, when you're at home on Saturday morning, it's around 8 o'clock, they're meeting right here having a discussion on how to get the ministry going. They work on it all the time. We have meetings throughout the week and before church, after church, and we got land going up across the street. We got building going up over here. God's doing a great work here, and it's because of leadership. We've got great leadership. So I'm going to ask four different families to come up, and we'll start off with Brandon and Jennifer Freeman, Pastor BJ and Miss Betty, Pastor David and Miss Meredith, Pass Ms. Sharon, you better make it up. And Miss the volleyball lady, Miss Sharon Freeman, she's not going to be able to make it up here. But Pastor Dale will be accepting for their family. And I got a card here for each one of these families. And I just want to say I praise the Lord for being able to work here at Fellowship Baptist Church, serve with them. What a great group of folks. I love them dearly. I appreciate them so much. And let me just go. I'll start over here with Pastor BJ and Miss Betty. Then we'll go down here and we'll start with Pastor David and Miss Meredith. You know, seeing Meredith up here really makes me feel old because I've taught her as a teenager in Sunday school, and here she is, a grown lady doing a fantastic work here. Pastor Brandon, Miss Jennifer. And last but certainly not least, Pastor Dale, Miss Sharon. Just want to challenge you in your mornings, when you wake up in the mornings in your morning devotion, remember this group right here. This is the most important group that we can pray for in the mornings. God is working in their lives, but the devil wants to see them fall. And we would need to get up and just in the mornings have prayer time, ask God to put a hedge of protection around them, their family, their children. I want to give a standing ovation to our wonderful staff. Thank you very much. You can be seated.
I certainly appreciate the assistant pastors that God has given to work with me and with you, and they certainly are good men of God, and they have good wives and good families, and I'm very appreciative of them. I want to say that I don't think I would be out of bounds to also mentioned that beyond the pastoral staff here, we have a fine group of deacons and their wives and families, and men and women in leadership positions throughout this church that are dedicated to the work. And I don't think I stand alone in saying, first of all, on behalf of the assistant pastors with myself, Sharon, who cannot physically be up here, we certainly do appreciate your thoughtfulness of us and Pastor's Appreciation Day. And we certainly appreciate the prayers of God's people. And what a wonderful thing it is to have co-laborers like God has given us in this church family. So we appreciate you. Today I want to talk to you about the importance of recognizing youth. I look across our congregation today and I see many children in our congregation. And that makes me smile. I'm thankful for the children. Before I get into the message, I don't think I have to spend a lot of time in reminding you that our children are in trouble. Our children across our country and around the world have become targets through the avenues of abduction, of pornography, through selling, harvesting, certainly even before many even reach many, I mean untold millions before they even reach this world physically, they are being aborted. Our children are targets of the devil. Now, why many of you are sitting here today and you couldn't comprehend doing anything that would be harmful or hurtful to a little child, I want to remind you that you're slowly but surely getting into a category of the minority. Children are the target, and the devil has his big guns pointed at the next generation. And it is your responsibility and it's my responsibility as a parent, a grandparent, as a pastor, as a Christian, as a concerned citizen, to do our part in protecting the children, in informing them, in befriending them, and in helping to guide them, mentor them, and mold them into what God would have them to be in life. Children, I want you to know something. We're going to talk about a young man this morning 8 years old, who in a moment's time was thrust into a great leadership position. I hope that you have your Bible with you today. If not, if there's an adult around you, I want you to look on with that adult. They would be pleased, even joyed, that you would want to look on with them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, in verse number 1, the Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. 31 years, this little 8-year-old boy sit on the throne of God's chosen nation. Very powerful nation. God was dealing and working in the land, and through a series of events that I'll, because of time's sake, I'm not get into great detail, but I think that it is important for the grandpas and the papas and the dads to listen to me this morning, because this man was thrust in this position because of some of the actions of his grandfather and father. If you go back into chapter 33, you will see where a man by the name of Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And verse number 2 of chapter 33 says, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen. If you read the scripture, you'll find that this man, Manasseh, was probably the most wicked king ever to take the throne in Jerusalem. I mean, this man was a murderer. This man had no conscience. He was wicked, heinous. And the Bible begins to lay out the many things that he did. If you'll look at verse number 9 of chapter 33, it says that Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. God is wanting us to know that here's a man that as he began to grow, that he became more and more notorious for his wickedness. Now history, Josephus tells us in history that this was the king that killed the prophet Isaiah. He sawn him in two. This man was a wicked man. And the Bible goes on to tell us many things about him. But in verse number 12, it says that when Manasseh, it was in chapter 33, verse 12, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. There was a time in this young man's life, Manasseh, the grandfather of Josiah, where God said, enough is enough. Brethren, I don't know where the deadline of God's grace is, but I do know that there's going to come a day when God says, enough is enough. We're living in a wicked generation. We're living in a time where men have absolutely no conscience when it comes to doing that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And this man was that way, and then the Bible says that God afflicted this man and brought him to a place to where he humbled himself in verse number 12 before the Lord. And then the Bible says in verse number 13, and for sake of time I'll not go into this, but the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 13 that Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God manifested himself. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? I mean, aren't you glad? Listen, I'm sad that this man did all that he did, and I'm sad that he was wicked and evil and that he hurt people and that he just wreaked havoc on a people. But I'm so thankful that God didn't give up, God didn't turn away, that God brought him to a place of repentance and received him into the family of God. Now, you and I would have done differently, but I'm glad that you and I are not God, aren't you? You and I would have taken care of this man had he done something toward our family or toward our name or toward our neighbor. But I'm glad that God in his grace brought this man to the place of repentance and received him into the fold. The Bible says in verse number 15 of chapter number 33 that he took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord, and Manasseh began to try to undo some of the things that he did in the many years that he was the leader there in Israel. Well, as time goes by, we'll find in verse number 20 of chapter 33 that Manasseh slept with his fathers and they buried him in his own house, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now Amon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years. That's not a very long reign as a king. Now here's why he only reigned 2 years, and I want you to listen very carefully, Grandpa. Because his son got a hold of the early years of his life and not the latter years of his life. While Manasseh was able to turn back and change some things in the country of Israel and the people in whom he reigned over, his son was watching him, and some of those bad things and some of those wicked things that Manasseh participated in lodged in Amon's heart, and they stayed there, and he was a very wicked man. And the Bible says in verse number 22, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Watch what it says now here, as did Manasseh his father. He took the bad things. See, Manasseh got saved. Manasseh went on to do some good things, but Amon did not receive those things, and he turned away from those things, and he honed in on the bad things. It's a very important, it's a very, very important thing to remember that as a parent, that our children are watching us. Yes, they do see our good, and I thank God for it, but I want to remind you, as I have been reminded throughout my life as a parent and as a pastor, they see our bad too. And it's very important how we live. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. And so, be careful. You say, well, preacher, my children are small. Well, they only stay that way a short time. And they understand more than you think they do. And they're watching and they're listening when you don't think they're watching and listening. How many parents know what I'm talking about and say amen right there? And they're taking it in, brethren. They know when it's real. Now listen to me. They know when it's real. They know when it's a put on. They know when their parents are playing church. They know when it's just going through the motion and when there's nothing real in dad's heart. They see when dad does the things that he does, but yet he acts different at church. They see the way dad acts here and then the way dad acts there, and they see the difference, and it leaves a dark spot in their soul. And here was Amon. And the Bible says that he was so wicked. That he was so weak. Look at verse 23 of chapter 33. He humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh, his father. Now I realize that there's many that are under the sound of my voice, and I'm one of them. I've sowed my wild oats, and listen, I've done some things that I'm not proud of as a lost man. And I realize that could have had an effect on my children. And I just want to thank God that I got saved before that time, but yet it still had an impact in some things that I did in my life after I was saved and bringing up my children. And there's just some things in the past we cannot change. And if you're here today and you say, well, preacher, I've messed up, I've done wrong, and here I am. Well, I want to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. The best thing you can do is plant your feet and move forward. Amen. Amen. Listen, don't wallow in that. Leave the past where it's at in the past. Amen. Plant your feet. Look forward and go on for God. But now if you're here and you're a young parent and you have young children and you're not doing the things that you know you ought to do, you need to make a turn before it's too late. And you need to realize that your children are watching you and they're taking it in. They're counting on you. You're their hero. You're their Superman. They're looking to you. They want to find out if God is real from you, not from me, from you. You say, well, you tell them, preacher. I bring them to Sunday school, and I want the Sunday school teachers to tell them. Well, if they come to Sunday school here, the Sunday school teachers are going to tell them. If they come to preaching here, I'm going to tell them. But they live with you, and they want you to tell them. They're looking to you. You tell them. You show them that God is real. You teach them to pray as these young ladies stood up here and sang this morning. You teach them that God is listening. You teach them that there's nothing that God cannot do. The Bible says that Manasseh lived wickedly and he got right and he went on to heaven. But then in verse number 23, his son Amon would not humble himself before the Lord as Manasseh, his father, had humbled himself. But Amon, in verse number 23, trespassed more and more. Well, our children have a way of taking it a step further, don't they? Come on, parents, you know what I'm talking about. They have a way of taking it a step further. I'll close with this. The Bible says in verse 24 that his servants conspired against him. And we're talking about Josiah's dad now. We're talking about how he got thrust into a leadership position in a moment's time. And I'm talking to the young children here that think, well, you know what? I'm 7, 8, 9, 10, I'm 12, I'm 14, I'm 16, I'm 18 years old. And one day I'm going to serve God. Won't you serve him today? One day I'm going to step up and do something for Jesus. Why don't you step up and do something for Jesus today? You see, the world has so brainwashed us to where we think you have to be sweet 16 or 18 or married or 21 before you can do so many important things in life. Most of the things that the world tells you to do are not important anyway. God's saying, I'll use you when you're 7. I'll use you when you're 8. Listen, if you want to do business with God, God will do business with you. He won't ask you what your age is.
Amen.
If you mean business with God, God will do business with you. You say, well, preacher, I'm not but 8 years old. This young man wasn't but 8 also. And the Bible says that his dad was so wicked, after 2 years of his reign, in verse number 24, that the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead in a moment's time. Son, you're king. What about that? Amen. One day playing with his Legos and the next day sitting on the throne. Amen. Hey, it can happen so fast. Amen. Yeah. See, you never know what God has in store for you. Now, young people, listen, I want you to sit up and I want you to listen to this. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to hear this about the great God of heaven. I want you to take your Bible and turn back to 1 Kings chapter number 13, and I want to show you something that really, really stood out to me when I was doing a study on this. You see, while Josiah may have been absolutely astonished when they came to him and said, you're going to be the king, he may have said, what? Me? While many people in that area and surrounding areas may have been absolutely taken back when they heard the news that Josiah is the king. Have you heard? Ammon's son, Manasseh's grandson, Josiah, 8 years old, he's the king. Have you heard? And while they may have been astonished and amazed, can I tell you, it didn't set back God any. God had already called it. In 1 Kings chapter 13, look at this scripture if you would here now. The Bible says, and behold, there came a man. I'm in 1 Kings chapter number 13. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. And said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Watch it now. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. See, here's a man who said there's coming a young kid one day, Josiah by name, that's going to sit on the throne in Israel. He prophesied, as we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, that this young boy was going to be king one day. Now, why did I read that to you? Because I want every young boy, young girl, I want every young man and young lady to know something. God knows your name. God knew your name before you got here. You say, well, my parents gave me my name. My grandpa, my mom, my auntie, somebody gave me my name. I'm going to tell you who gave you your name. God gave you your name way before they even knew what they was going to name you. God just put it on their heart when you came into this world. See, he said Josiah is going to be his name. Now, not only does God know your name, God knows your purpose in life because he's the one who gave it to you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What's that mean? Listen to me. That means you don't have to spend not one night in jail. Listen to me now. That means you don't have to, listen, you don't have to steal. You don't have to lie. You don't have to be a bully. You don't have to be a failure. You don't have to be a loser in life. God has a plan for your life, children. And God wants you to succeed. And God wants you to be a servant. And God wants you to be all that he purposed for you in life. And you can be. You say, well, they're telling me down at this institution, that institution, that I don't measure up to the others. Well, you measure up to God.
Right.
and God's got something special for you. You give it your all. You give it your all. Don't give life half. Don't you give life half. You put your all into it. You mean business with God. You stay true to God, and God's got something very special for your life. Wouldn't it be something if God called some of these young men to preach right out of this congregation right here? Go to some place that's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell a folk, listen, people back in the tribal areas, in the villages, tell folks that have never heard the gospel in their language, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, preacher, will God do that with me? Well, he'll make 8-year old boy a king. I think he could get you to a tribal area. I think he'd get you to a village. Amen. Let's go back now. There's a few things I'm going to mention, and my time is up. I want you to notice this Josiah. By the way, I look out in our congregation, I see some of these teenagers, some of these folks in the young 20s. This is for you. I want you to notice the progression of age that God wants us to see. Follow it with me now. My time is going to be short, but I want to give you, I'm just going to hit the highlights of this, and I trust that what it will do is drive you to study this young man's life. What a difference this young man made. You say, oh, preacher, I'm just 8. What could I do? I don't know. A 12-year-old boy went in the temple one day and astonished all the lawyers and doctors. Amen. I'm telling you right now, God can use you, young person. God can use you. You say, I don't have my license. I can't even drive. How can God use me? God can use you to do far greater things than you could ever imagine. Just got to mean business with God now. I've studied the great revivals of this land and other lands, and I found that, listen, at the core of many of those great revivals were young men and young women who meant business with God and got on their face before God and prayed down the power of God from heaven. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. Now I want to break this up into 3 areas, and I'm going to give them to you and make a comment on them, and I'll be through this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that Josiah saw the problem of his country. He saw the problem of his country, and he began to cleanse the land. Look at it. Verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. By the way, this is, of course, speaking spiritually of his father, but young people, get the right kind of heroes. I'm just throwing that in there. This man's hero was David. I think your heroes ought to be Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not somebody that can't half talk. Listen to me. Got tattoos all over their body and piercings all through their body and hates our country and burns our flag. Get you a hero that loves Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I'm glad somebody's clapping. Well, I tell you, we expect so little out of our children today. You know what the difference in the yesterday's generation than our generation is? There was a lot expected out of our young people. We've got a generation of parents who expect very little out of their children. Give your children some responsibility, some chores, and hold them to it. Amen? It builds character. The Bible says here in verse number 2 that he did not decline neither to the right hand nor to the left. Look at verse 3. And in the 8th year of his reign, now how old would he be right here? Help me out, children. Help me out, children. He was 8 years old when he began to reign, and in the 8th year of his reign. How old is he? 16. 16 years old. He made a very important decision when he was 16. Watch it now. The Bible says in verse number 3, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. He realized that my grandfather's faith is not enough. He realized that those that are around me, their position with God is not enough. I need something for me. I need something personal. I need to go after God. I need to seek what God has for me. Yes, God did something great with David. Yes, God did something good through my grandfather. Yes, God did something good through other men. But I believe God has something good for me. And so he began, look at it in verse number 3. When he was 16 years old, would to God that there was some 16-year-old, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds in this congregation today that would believe in their heart God has something good for me. Yes, God's done some good things with my dad. Yes, God's done some good things with my youth leader. Yes, God's done some good things with the deacons of this church and with the leaders of this church and with my pastor. But I believe that God Almighty has something special and something good for me. Amen. Amen. Would to God that that would be the heart of some young 16, 17, 18-year-old young men and young ladies in our congregation this morning. I'm telling you, Nick Dotson, God can use you, son. Nathan, God can use you, young man. Where you at, Nick? God can use you. Carter, Morgan, hear me now. You say, preacher, God won't use me. Carl, Corey, you say, God won't use me. Yes, God will use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. You say, what can God do with me? Well, like I said, he made an 8-year-old king. I think he can do something with you. Hey, you're good young men. You're good young ladies. Don't just let it get down to the place to where you're just existing and going through the motions and waiting on something like this or something. You know, well, I'll just hang around and wait and see what drops out of the sky. You get on your face before God like this young man at 16. And the Bible says that he began to seek. He began to pursue, is what that word means. He got after God because God got on him. Amen. If we'll get after God, I'm here to tell you that God will get on you and God will do something special in your life.
Amen.
16. And look what happened. It's going to take something, isn't it? 16 years old, and the Bible says he began to seek after the God of David his father. And then look at this, verse number 3, in the 12th year. How old is he now? Help me out, children. 20. I know what these children are thinking. I was told there would be no math at church today. Amen. That's why I got on the bus. Amen. That's why I got in the car. I was told there'd be no math. 20 years old. See, it's one thing to seek after God. It's one thing to develop that relationship. Now, many people believe that it was right here that Josiah became a believer. I don't know. Maybe he just realized, he already was a believer, and he just realized, you know, I need to take my faith to another level. I need God to do something in my life personally. I don't want to ride on the coattails of Grandpa. I don't want to ride on the coattails of another. I want a personal relationship with the God of heaven. Now, children, you can have that. You can have that. Young folks, you can have it. So when he was 12, in the 12th year of his reign, when he was 20, look what he began to do in verse number 3. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they, you notice that word? See, he began it. Look at it now. There's some things I'm going to have to leave out, but I'm going to try to point out some things as I go down through here. He began it, and as a 20-year-old man, he began to influence others. He began it in verse number 3, but by the time you get down to verse number 4, I want you to underline that second word, they. Young people, you can be an influence for good for God. You can influence your little friends. You can influence your neighbors and some of your family members for the Lord if you'll just set your heart to it now.
Amen.
You can do it. You say, preacher, they'll laugh at me. Some of them will, but some of them will join you. And some of them will be the ones that laughed at you at the beginning. They will. Because they'll see what you have is what they need. What you have is what they've been wanting for a long time in their life. And they just didn't have what it took to step forward and get it. But they got that courage from you. Let me encourage you. Live for Jesus. Others are watching. And you can make an impact on their life. And so the Bible says in verse number 4, they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images and were on high above them. Then he cut down the groves. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go through this. I just want to tell you that he began to do many things all the way down through verse number 7. He got involved. He didn't just seek the Lord. He got involved and put some action to his pursuit. I was glad to see our young people serving today, Brother Calvin. Singing, playing, receiving the offering, just does my heart good to see you serve the Lord, children. See, one day the preacher's not going to be here. One day some of these folks in the congregation, well, we're going to go on to our eternal reward. And we're going to turn the hand of the baton to somebody. I hope you'll be standing there to receive it. I hope you'll be standing there saying, I'm ready, I'm ready. I'm ready to take that next step. Because we don't get to take the baton with us now. We're going to have to turn and hand it off. And as we should, so that the gospel can still go on in this life. So he began to change the land. All right, he cleansed some things. You can read that. Then look, if you would, in verse number 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, how old is he now? Amen. Who said that? Amen. Y'all be sure to give him something special on the bus on his ride home. Good answer, young man. 26 years old. Some of your parents, I seen you, you were still doing this, and this fellow over here is answering the question. Amen. Amen. I saw you. Amen. Some of you was giving it this. 26 years old. Notice what the Bible says. You see how God wants us to see the life of a young man? Started when he was 8. And then God said when he was 16, he got serious. When he was 20, he began to put some things into action. He got involved to make a difference. And then when he was 26, notice what it says here. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city of Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So the first thing that he did is he kind of cleaned up the city. But you know the second thing he did? He restored the church, the temple in that day, the house of God. He got concerned. He said, hey, I'm concerned. We go down to the temple and it's just a heap. It's rubble. The church ought to be the nicest looking building. May not be the most expensive, but it ought to be the cleanest, the nicest looking building in the community. I thank God for those who give of their time to work tirelessly here at Fellowship Baptist to make our properties as presentable as they can be. And I thank God for you. You say, well, I don't think anybody knows, preacher. I do, and I think there's several others that do. But even if we didn't, God knows. Now, here was a young man, and again, I don't have time to go into this into detail, but I want you to look at this. He got concerned about what was going on down at the church. Now, I'm bringing this up to today's vernacular, okay? I'm bringing this up to present time. He went down to the temple, and he got concerned about what was happening down at the temple. Hey, young folks, I pray that you would get concerned, and if you are concerned, I pray you'd stay concerned about what's going on here at the church. Stay concerned about that. He got concerned. And you know what he did? He rallied the people. This 26-year-old young man rallied the people. You read this sometime. I want to get on down. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says in verse number 10, that they put it in the hand of the workmen. This was the money. They put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight in the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even the artificers and the builders, they gave it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. Now watch verse 12. And the men did the work faithfully. These people had gotten so encouraged by Josiah that they began to buy into his vision. They began to say, you know what, we can do this. For years, this temple had lay ruined and in rubble. And Josiah got a burden for the church. He got a burden for the house of God. And he began to say, hey, let's do something. And young people, I want to tell you, you need to get concerned and get involved. And some, many of you are. Stay involved in what goes on in the church. So, well, preacher, there's a lot going on out there in the world. Nothing more important than what's going on right here. What's happening here is where it's at, brethren. This has eternal value. Invest your life into things with eternal purposes. Now, you find in verse number, the latter part of verse number 12, that even the Levites and those that were skilled in instruments and music got involved. In other words, they were Disney whistles while they worked. These folks were listening to music while they worked. You say, we do that all the time. You didn't do it before they did. This is the first time I can find where people were working the music. I like to work the music, don't you? You got Josiah to thank for. Little 8-year-old boy who became king. And then through his life, he began to do things for God, and he became God-sensitive, and he became church-conscious, and he began to look at ministry and how he could help people and a difference he could make in the lives of others. And he invested his life into that. And it began to change the lives of those around him. You know, today when we think of 8, 16, 20, 26-year-olds, we normally don't think of them on that level. Maybe it's because our expectations are so low. Well, you know, one day when you get married and have kids, you might teach Sunday school. Done my heart good to have one of the young men, 16-year-old, to say in our mentorship class, he said, you know, I'm really considering, and I think God may want me to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, I tell you, that fired me up. I want to do everything I can to encourage that. I think God wants me to teach Sunday school. Isn't that good? What about you, young person? What do you think God wants you to do? I've got one point, then I'm going to close, but I want to ask you this question. What do you think God wants you to do? Parents, do you ever sit your children down and ask them? What do you think God wants you to do when you grow up, son? What does God want you to do right now? Hey, listen, if you don't ask them, somebody else will. You listening? There's people out in the world that'll be asking them. What you want to be when you grow up? Don't you ask your children that. You ask them what God wants them to do. Don't you ask them, what do you want to be? It's not about what you want to be. It's what does God want you to be? Amen. You set your children down regularly, and you pray with them that God's purpose would be known to them and that they would fulfill God's purpose for their life. It's important. So number one, here's a young man that found purpose in his life. He began to pursue God, and God began to use him to make a difference in the land. And then he got involved in the church. He seen the church and the state it was in, and he said, that's not good enough. Some things need to happen. And he led the work to get God's house back where it needed to be. And then finally, and I think this may be one of the more important things, look if you would in verse number 14. It says, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now, many folks believe this was the book of Deuteronomy. We know that it was probably one of the books of what we call the Pentateuch, the first five writings of the Bible, were by Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so they found one of the books. Now look, here's what it says. I want you to get this and then I'll be through. But don't miss this now. And the Bible says that they found this book. They were there doing the work and maybe under some rubble, some things that had been misplaced. And no wonder the church, listen to me now, no wonder the church needed updating. No wonder the church needed some work done to it. They'd left the book behind. They were going to church without the book. You can't have church without the Bible. Listen to me. Hey, preacher, we're going to have a concert. We don't need a concert. We need preaching. Teach your children that the most important thing that they'll ever hear in their life is not a song by some long-haired hippie with a chain around his neck. It's the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. We need preaching. I need preaching. You need preaching. Our children need preaching. America needs preaching. This world needs preaching. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to convert the soul of man. Amen. We need some preaching, brethren. Amen. They misplaced the book. Well, for sake of time, I'll tell you that Josiah said, I want to hear that book. You can find that in verse 18. He called Shaphan the scribe. He told the king, Hilkiah the priest had given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. You see that? And I want you to notice Josiah's respect. And I want to tell every young person, I want you to look right up here. All you young children, look right up here at the preacher. I thank God for your attention that you've given me as the preacher this morning. I thank God for you. Because you're not just giving attention to me, you're giving reverence to the Word of God. You don't pass notes and whisper, doze off, you sit up erect, and you look toward the platform, and you open your heart and your ears to the preaching of the Word of God, and that gives reverence. And if an adult beside you is sleeping, give him that. And say, wake up. The man of God's preaching the Word of God. And we need to listen. Verse number 19 says, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. Well, I tell you, it had a profound impact on his life, didn't it? Say, preacher, did it do any good? Well, I think it did. You read this when you get home and you'll find where God said, I'm going to bring judgment on the land, but I'm going to spare you, Josiah. I'm going to spare you. How did it end up? Verse 31. And the king stood in his place. I'm chapter 34, verse 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Well, I tell you, as we stand to our feet, this young kid grew up into a fine young man. And God used him in a great way. On this Children's Sunday, here at Fellowship Baptist Church, I want you children and young people to know that God has a purpose for your life. Your pastor is behind you 100%. I'll do anything I can to help you. And I think I speak for many people in this church. We're here to help you. We're here to help you in any way we can. We're here to pray with you. We're here to help your family. We just want you to serve God with your life because we know that's how you're going to find purpose in life. So that when you come down to the end of your life, this 93-year-old man right here told me some years ago, Dr. Thompson, he said, when I get to the end of my life, he said, I want to look back over the course of my life without regret. You see, when we look back over the course of our life, there's only two ways we can look at it, young people. It may be hard for you to realize it now, but when you get on the other side of age, you'll begin to think about it. You either look back and you can say, I'm glad I did, or I wished I would have. Don't live your life to where you'll constantly be having to say, oh, I wished I would have done this. I wished I would have listened to the preacher. I wished I would have listened to mom. Oh, I should have listened to grandpa. I should have listened to my Sunday school teacher, my youth leader. I wished I would have. Don't live your life that way. Live your life so you can look back over and say, you know, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I went with God. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to come.